This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 20th of September 2019. Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. Liz and Gordon Legg have edited the extracts this week. And so we'll begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please first check the boxes plugged into the mains before you telephone Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. That's 01962 711 998. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And one more note for those of you with computers or tablets. As well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, most recent first. And now, let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle. Our readers today are Claire Porter.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
And John Parvin.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Barbara Kearns, standing in for Ros Lydiard this week. Moving on to the news, here are the headlines. Changes at hospital due to start this winter. Approval fails to end dissent. And council jobs blow. And the first headline story from Claire, please.
Change at hospital due to start this winter. A shake-up of surgery services at Winchester Hospital is to be tested before the end of consultations with the public. Fewer emergency orthopaedic operations could be carried out at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, which could instead become a centre of excellence for planned operations such as hip and knee replacements. The move, which is part of a major plan to be delivered by Hampshire Hospital NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, will be tested this winter, while consultations with staff, public and stakeholders will be ongoing. As previously reported, hospital bosses denied the move would happen without a consultation. But at a meeting of the Health and Adult Social Care Select Committee, HASC, at the County Council on Monday, they said they want to introduce some changes this winter to reduce the number of operations cancelled due to beds shortage in winter months. When asked if public consultations had been held, Alex Whitfield, Chief Executive at HHFT, said the public had been informed, but they could have done more consultations on this specific proposal. "We recognise there is a gap, and we want to do that. More consultations, that is, in the next couple of months. The reason why we are bringing this here is because we want to try this winter, but we will do engagement during that time," said Ms. Whitfield. Planned orthopaedic operations which require a stay in hospital would be done in Winchester, while people needing an emergency orthopaedic operation could be sent to the nearest acute hospital that has the right specialist consultant capability. It is believed the change would see many residents having to travel to Basingstoke Hospital should they require emergency surgery on broken bones. The Trust said informal and internal consultations have already been held, but there will be further engagement events. Talking to HASC members, Jenny Irwing, Director of Commissioning at West Hampshire CCG, said, "We want to test a range of ideas. We already have a close community link. Our engagement programme is very broad and deep, and it will allow us over the next couple of months to understand the impact on people."
Approval fails to end dissent. Frustrations over the size, nature and decision-making process of the regeneration at station approach threatened to boil over at a public forum just days after the project reached a key milestone. The £150 million plans from Winchester City Council to transform the Carfax site opposite the railway station received outline planning permission from the local authority's planning committee on Thursday, September the 12th. Despite support from Cabinet and opposition leaders, residents remained concerned about many aspects of the scheme, which will feature 190,000 square feet of office space and a further 20,000 square feet of retail, cafe and restaurant space. At the forum organised by the council to discuss the station approach project, the council was accused of rushing the planning application, failing to take comments on board and not ensuring there were strict enough safeguards to force developers to adhere to constraints when they bring forward more detailed plans to the reserved matters process. Officers highlighted the alterations, which had reduced the maximum number of car parking spaces to 95, all in the basement, and dropped the height of the development by 2 metres. However, this failed to quash the overwhelming strength of feeling from the forum at the Guildhall on Monday. Nicholas John of Gladstone Road said, "It seems to me you've made this decision so quickly already on behalf of everyone. I don't even know why we're here, to be honest, because whether they're taking on board our comments on scale, because 2 metres, I'm afraid, doesn't even touch anything. Most of us in this room actually live and pay our council tax here. You guys, council officers, don't. This monstrosity, out of scale, monolithic building, whatever the architect says, I'm sorry, it doesn't fall into context. It's a mishmash of different heights, it doesn't respect the surrounding, and it's going to be a carbuncle if it ever gets going." Judith Martin of City Winchester Trust said, "While we're here 4 days after planning consent has been given, even if it is only on the outline, I really think you've got the cart before the horse, and I would love to see this reversed." However, there continues to be support for the regeneration from business leaders. Mark Balch, Hampshire Chamber of Commerce's Head of Policy and Representation, said businesses want to come to Winchester. He said, "There's an opportunity here to provide a really green piece of office space that will encourage businesses to come to Winchester, and they start to spend time and money in the city. We're asking for the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen." The council is now in the process of drafting up criteria as they seek a purchaser for the site who will carry forward the development in the private sector.
John.
Council jobs below. More than 200 jobs could be lost and services hit by further cuts as county bosses try to balance the books. Residents could be charged for services that are currently free. Some libraries could close. Council tax could be increased by 4%. And a number of health services could be affected as Hampshire County Council, HCC, is trying to save £80 million by 2021. The proposals show that £43.1 million could be saved in adult social care and public health, with the potential loss of 120 full-time jobs in the adult social care sector. An official document says the savings target will challenge the department like never before, and it is inevitable there will be impacts on frontline services. A total of 223 jobs could be at risk, including up to 58 jobs in the library service and up to 25 within the Economy, Transport and Environment Department. Concerns have been raised over the impact the proposed cuts will have in the long term. According to official documents published by HCC, the almost 300 people with a learning disability across the county could see a reduction of 1-to-1 and 2-to-1 support in a move that would save £2 million. New supported living schemes could be developed to reduce the reliance on residential care for people with learning disability, physical disability or a mental health condition. Kevin Gardner, CEO at Solent Mind, the charity that provides services to support people with mental health problems, said the council is facing a huge task. But, he added, reduced investment in prevention may help balance the books in the short term, but risks a need for more intensive and costly support in future years. Services for children and young people moving from children's to adult social care could also be affected. Liberal Democrat Councillor David Harrison said to be concerned that some of the cuts will not achieve any real savings. Often, if you fail to support vulnerable people, it simply shunts costs elsewhere, such as the NHS. My Lib Dem colleagues and I will be looking carefully at the proposals, he added. Streetlights could be switched off for longer hours and some libraries closed. The authorities said that any job loss would be due to a number of factors, including the introduction of new ways of working and processes. It also highlighted that it is anticipated that most would be achieved through natural turnover. Councillor Keith Manns, council leader, said these proposals were set out a range of options for how the county council could meet the significant funding gap it faces by April 2021, which are the direct result of further reductions in our funding from government, rising costs and inflation, and growing demand for council services such as social care. While no final decisions are to be made until November 2019, there can be no doubt that without a long-term national strategy in place for the funding of adult social care, some difficult decisions lie ahead in the way we support our population.
And now we have the death notices. Dobby, Agnes Brownlee, Nancy, sadly passed away peacefully on Monday the 9th of September 2019, aged 99. Guppy, Margaret, passed away peacefully on Sunday the 1st of September 2019, aged 87. Beloved and much-loved wife of Viv and mother of Graham, Jill and Linda, and grandmother to Lucy and Daniel. Newell, Tessa, much-loved wife, mother, grandmother and sister, passed away 2nd of September. Warwick, Dorothy Violet, known as Sybil, passed away peacefully at home, surrounded by family, on the 13th of September 2019. Her loving mother, grandmother, great-grandmother and great-great-grandmother, adored by all. Now, Mark Collinson from Winchester Cathedral is the contributor of this week's Christian comment. It is headed Being Eco-Friendly. Claire, do tell us more.
Excuse me. This year's Hampshire Harvest Festival on the weekend of 5th to 6th October at Winchester Cathedral is having an environmentally friendly makeover. As well as all the regular activities with birds of prey and birds that lay eggs and tractors for kids to climb on, there is going to be a giant bee. Winchester School of Art are making a giant bee out of recycled materials funded by Winchester City Council, which will hang by the west door of the cathedral. The message is simple. If nature recycles things, why can't we? The church, it has to be said, has been slow to the environmental party. Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople, from the Eastern Orthodox Church, was the first modern Christian leader to be an eco-warrior. Now it's our children who are leading the charge. Greta Thunberg, aged only 16, is famous the world over for her bold message to get serious about climate change. Even children in schools in Winchester have been ditching their classrooms to protest at the Buttercross. They know there is no Planet B. As I said recently in a sermon, A Vegan Option, my own children have been persuading us as a family to eat less meat. I have been increasingly convinced of the arguments for becoming vegetarian, and even vegan, like never before. I was surprised to learn that the biggest positive impact any single person can make on the environment is to become vegan. I've yet to change my meat-eating habits of a lifetime, but I am increasingly choosing vegetarian options. The BBQ barbecue in our garden this summer has never been so cold. Before long, I gather, it will be as sociably unacceptable to eat a beef steak as it is to light up a cigarette at the dinner table. This might be bad news for farmers of livestock, whose land cannot support arable farming. Farmers are under enough pressure, as it is, to make ends meet. But changes in consumer habits will inevitably affect suppliers. Farmers will need help to get ahead of the curve and transition to growing plant protein food sustainably and profitably. Hampshire has help at hand. The University of Winchester is leading the way in demonstrating the importance of putting the environment at the heart of academia, not least by providing amazing vegan food in their catering for students. Sparsholt College is training our farmers of the future to integrate care for the environment with their work. We all need to work out what we can do to make life sustainable. The cathedral is doing its bit, and we will be presented with the Silver Echo Church Award during the Green Hampshire Harvest Weekend. We still have to get gold. Who knows, perhaps God's command to mankind to eat just the plants of the field and of the trees that bear fruit may yet become a reality in the 21st century. Mark Collinson, Canon Principal of Winchester Cathedral.
And now letters to the editor. As you can imagine, two subjects dominate the letters to the editor this week, and we've selected about 11 of them for your interest and delectation. Richard, would you start us off, please?
With pleasure. Peter Hargreaves finds the situation disgraceful. After being given the opportunity to build a political career by Theresa May, Boris Johnson and over 30,000 Winchester and Chandlersford Conservative voters at the 2017 general election, he betrayed all of them by reneging on the Conservative election manifesto for a no-deal Brexit and a smooth and orderly exit from the EU. Yet he still has the temerity to complain that he was shocked to have the Conservative whip withdrawn, meaning he cannot stand as a Conservative parliamentary candidate. Who does he think he is that he can conduct himself in such a disgraceful way and not be rejected as a worthy candidate for the Winchester and Chandlersford constituency after his gross betrayal of the Conservative Party and the 30,000 electors? He then implies that he could stand as an independent candidate at the coming election, knowing full well that in doing so he would split the Conservative vote, resulting in handing over the seat to the Liberal Democrats. He could do this knowing that the Liberal Democrats are about to launch a campaign to cancel Brexit altogether and even opposing a second referendum. It seems that neither Steve Brine nor the Liberal Democrats understand the horrific consequences for democracy in this country and the serious threat of civil unrest if they are successful. Citizens of Winchester and Chandler's Ford do not need these people to create havoc in their lives. We must do all we can to ensure the Liberal Democrats do not succeed and Steve Brine is encouraged to seek a more suitable career. Peter Hargreaves, Worthy Lane, Winchester.
A debate over conscience. Sir, when did a matter of opinion about forecasts become a matter of conscience, as our MP Steve Brine loftily asserts in the Chronicle, September the 5th? If an MP wishes to vote as they feel on every issue, he or she must stand as an independent. Those that stand on a party ticket have a cabinet or shadow cabinet in which policy is debated and a majority decision reached. They are bound to abide by those decisions. In the last 3 years, we have seen that party discipline break down in both Conservative and Labour parties. It cannot continue. A Parliament of independents is a Parliament that agrees nothing. Noise and legislation about what they do not want, and not a hint of can do. Steve Brine operated happily as a minister under Theresa "No deal is better than a bad deal" May, and then voted 3 times for a disastrous deal. So that is conscience, then? James Anderson, Wrights Close, South Wanston.
Ruthless. The removal of the whip from our excellent MP, Steve Brine, is much to be regretted, not the least because of the ruthless manner in which it was done. Steve, whose industry and energy in representing the Winchester constituency has been second to none, and took a brave stand on what he believes to be right and best for the country. Winchester needs an MP of his calibre and courage, and I very much hope that the whip will be quickly restored so that he can continue to serve both constituency and country. He needs and deserves all the local support he can get. Fiona Mather, St. Michael's Gardens, Winchester, Conservative City Councillor for St. Michael Ward.
This from Peter Rees of Winchester Labour Party. Sad demise. Sir, to be elected as an MP is an enormous privilege, requiring the capacity to communicate and represent constituents' views and issues regardless of personal and political choices. The removal of the whip from Steve Brine, dismissal as an MP, peremptory sacking by local Conservatives for opposing the most anti-democratic government of all time, reminds us of the price to be paid for failing to heed overwhelming constituency voices. His willingness to support the condemned government of national punishment and his acceptance of higher office in order to do so should not be forgotten. His sustained support for Brexit until the 11th hour and his words about a divided constituency ring hollow. He has never adequately represented the vast swathe of people in a majority Remain area. Ignominiously sacked for last-ditch principles is a sad demise for our MP, in hiding and refusing to meet constituents. His statement that he always puts his constituency and country above self-interest reveals a total inflexible unwillingness to recognise the obvious. His constituents, the people he's supposed to represent, have steadfastly reminded him from the referendum onwards that no-deal Brexit is disaster. His government has no interest in achieving a deal. 90% of their time is used spending £100 million of our money to leave without a deal. With a buffoon for a Prime Minister employing a Rasputin clone, plus a few misguided extreme right-wing toadies, we are led towards Armageddon. If Steve Brine had an ounce of integrity, he would have resigned a long time ago. He's persisted as a champion of a punishing and austerity-inflicting government. The crisis of conscience has arrived too late. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Peter Rees, Winchester Labour Party, Monarch Way, Winchester.
And have we got another subject, John?
Indeed we have. Move on. Considering station approach will create 1,000 jobs, plus more needed office, much needed office space, provision of retail, cafe and restaurants, in addition to an £81 million boost to the local economy, perhaps Councillor Gottlieb should stop being so instinctively negative and instead support this admirable project. Chronicle, September the 5th. Issues have been addressed and resolved, including the height of the structure. This is an overwhelmingly desirable project, originally initiated by the previous City Council and rightly supported by the current administration. Naysayers will always find something to complain about, but why wait until now? Delays cost money, and there is too much at stake. Station Approach is a most positive development and has received all-party scrutiny. Time to move on. Stephen Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
Station Approach. Wynn ACC omitted to book a speaking slot within the two-day advance period for the meeting which granted outline consent for the development of the Station Approach site last Thursday. We regret this decision, which we are convinced puts very short-term financial considerations ahead of more far-sighted, strategic and holistic view. Though debarred from speaking, this statement was sent to all members of the Planning Committee. We agree with other objectors that, in the case of a site of this critical importance, WCC is placing itself in a most vulnerable position in seeking to dispose of this vital landholding on the basis of only outline consent and the assumption that matters of essential importance can be determined as reserved matters on mere statements of desirability. There are countless examples, both locally and nationally, of experienced developers bargaining down on grounds of financial viability from undertakings given, for example, on provision of housing for social rent. The actual conditions set out in the document under consideration are weak in the extreme and hedged around with such caveats as, where feasible, in relation to avoidance of active heating and cooling, and with regard to photovoltaic cells as a possibility. Starting a negotiation with any developer whose central responsibility must always be to wring maximum return for their shareholders, from such a position of self-imposed impotence is extremely ill-advised. Wynn ACC is very concerned that the scheme is still at odds with Transport Blueprint, the City of Winchester movement strategy, and the need for Winchester to react sensibly to the climate emergency. Members are surely aware of the notice sent to all local authorities by lawyers for Client Earth, putting LAs on notice that they will violate legal obligations if they do not observe the constraint that each and every planning decision taken today must be in line with long-term climate goals, because what and how we build today will determine our climate impact and resilience in the crucial decades to come. Wynn ACC further consider that the argument used to justify such haste in deciding these matters, namely the possible loss of LEP money, is being given far too much weight. The sum involved is trivial in relation to the overall value of this land, its potential and its importance in perpetuity to the city. We therefore argue for a deferral and for the briefing of Litschutz, Davidson and Sandylands to carry forward their design to detailed stage, taking into account the results of the public forum consultation yet to be held. The resultant design be submitted for detailed planning consent, on which basis the site can then be marketed. In the broader national context, this would have the advantage of avoiding the hazard of attempting a major marketing exercise in the middle of a period of maximum economic turbulence. This was from Kate McIntosh, MBE, RIBA, West End Terrace, Winchester.
John Hearn thinks it's a farce. This week, a packed meeting at the Guildhall learned that the City Council had granted itself planning permission for a very large office development on the Carfax site in front of the railway station. There were people at the meeting outraged. What was the point in attending the meeting when the decision had already been made? Prior to granting permission, an eminent and independent regional design review panel had assessed the scheme and recommended the council make changes. The panel said the offices were too tall, the scale was too large, the basement car park should be removed, and the design of the Gladstone Street elevation should be changed, be more interactive and friendly. These recommendations were ignored by the council, with the excuse that all can be resolved once the site is sold off. This cannot happen. The terms of the planning permission have set in stone the height, scale, the basement car park and the car parking entrance onto Gladstone Street. Moreover, the planning permission has reinforced the direction of one-way traffic and traffic congestion experienced by residents in Upper High Street, Newbury Street and Gladstone Street. Whatever happened to the green credentials of this new council? The first chance it has to stamp its authority and commit itself to sustainable and sympathetic city development, and it fails miserably. John Hearn, town planner and urban designer, Newbury Street, Winchester.
Window dressing. Sir, on Monday, the City Council held the second of its public forums on major developments on the subject of the station approach. 4 days previously, its planning committee had given the council outline planning permission. You might expect such an event to be held before the decision-making meeting. The event was well attended, to the point where extra chairs had to be brought in, and despite the fact that it was held at a time when many people would be at work or waiting to get their train back to Winchester. When the new Lib Dem council took charge in May, many people who had despaired of the previous council's inability to manage decent development heaved a sigh of relief at the idea there was to be a rethink. Sadly, it is hard to tell what has been rethought. Slicing 2 metres off the height of the large blocks, which is what, 0.6 of a story? Or reducing a few parking spaces is merely window dressing, when the outline consent means the council has ceded virtually all control over what might actually be built. They propose to sell the site to developers, thus depriving themselves of a much-needed revenue stream in future. The developers are to be chosen, suggesting competition at this unprecedentedly unsettled time. That is not realistic. Equally unrealistic is the idea that the public realm in front of the station will be stuffed with cafes, retail and the rest, at a time when mini-budget restaurants are dropping like flies and still more high street shops are closing. The latest consultants brought in to justify the amount of office space proposed, suggest Winchester should now compete with Birmingham or Manchester. They also imply that major companies such as Arqiva at Crawley and IBM at Hursley want to move into the city as they are tired of bussing their staff around. It would be good to hear from them if this is the case. But the overarching mood of the session was that people were displeased at being consulted, and yet again, on something they could not influence. Judith Martin, Romsey Road, Winchester.
Student burdens. With the looming threat of a general election in which there is the genuine prospect of a new party representing the people of this constituency, whether that be Mr. Brine as an independent or Liberal Democrat Paula Ferguson, I would be interested to know where the parties stand on student loans. It was under the 2010-15 Conservative Lib Dem coalition government, coincidentally Mr. Brine's first term as the Winchester MP, that the farcical changes were brought about. So I wonder if either Mr. Brine, Ms. Ferguson, or the new Conservative candidate would do something about it. The reason I now raise this issue is I have just received the annual joke that is my student loan statement. The statement, which covers the year to April 2019 and was issued in August, but has only just made its way through my door, shows that in that 12-month period, I have accrued nearly £2,000 in interest, taking the balance to more than £47,000. Interest additions at 3.3% are currently 11 times. Yes, 11! Higher than the monthly repayments, so that balance is only going to rise in the coming year. Whichever way you look at it, the system is flawed. The economy benefits from an educated population, and debts like this are certainly not an attractive proposition to young people already facing a bleak financial future, especially when I consider the income of my partner, who did not go to university. She is earning not much less than I am, but did not go to university and rack up the debt. If university hadn't seemed the only option following my A-levels, I now know it wasn't, I don't know if I would have made the same decision. I will never pay back my loan, in part because of the interest, but also because the initial loan amount was simply too large. And the loan is formed from taxpayers' money, I should add. Tuition fees need to be lower, and for something that is so beneficial to country, so should the interest rates. Michael Seymour, Didcot Road, Poole.
And a change of subject, mental health. So I was heartened to read the letter from Dr. Andrew Molodynski last week, underlining the urgent need for improvements in mental health funding and provision throughout the community. This investment has never been more apparent, not only to enhance the quality of lives, but also to save further expenditure being necessary in the future. We at Winchester Youth Counselling have recognised this for the last 15 years and have been gradually extending and improving our services, but at the same time have suffered a reduction in our funding from local and central government. A figure of £30,000 some 5 years ago from Hampshire County Council is now zero, and we receive no support from them. So we have to rely primarily on raising funds for this free service to the young people of Winchester aged between 14 and 25, as evidenced on page 5 of last week's edition, where our recent bike ride is mentioned. You can still add to our funds on www.justgiving.com/crowdfunding or one word /AndrewSimpson-59. It was also encouraging to read on page 30 of the local authority initiative to appoint suicide officers to specifically address this issue. This is just the sort of initiative that is needed, and it's hoped that the withdrawal of funding from our service over the last 5 years has not created a worsening situation with suicide amongst those needing help previously who could not access it. As the article indicates, we find mental health issues among young men are on the increase. At least the issue is now being addressed. Congratulations to the Chronicle on including 3 relevant pieces in your last edition to this issue and raising the profile. If anyone would like to become a friend with a regular small monthly donation or assist with our work, please do not hesitate to mail us on 14 to 25 counselling, that's all one word, at btconnect.com. That's from Nick Bell, Chair of Trustees, Winchester Youth Counselling, Springvale Road, Kingsworthy.
Another change of subject. Bus free day. Sir, how interesting. The car free day will be held on a Sunday when all local bus services dwindle and many disappear altogether. Diane Kirby, Nations Hill, Kingsworthy.
Well, body art is the subject of your say this week. And here is what a few members of the public thought about tattoos. Richard, enlighten us.
Well, Derek King, who's 75, a retired artisan ceiling decorator of Portsmouth Road, Colden Common, said, I haven't got any, but I think they look OK. Some people have too many for my liking, but it's not for me to say. Neil Penfold, 44, graphic designer of Winchester Road, Twyford, said, I'm not a huge fan. I'm older and I've seen friends who've got them 20 years ago. They look great then, but now those designs have gone out of fashion. Rachel Bell, an artist of Whittle Manor Road, Winchester, said, I like tattoos. I have a few. Each tattoo is personal and different. It's about expressing yourself, being individual and unique. And Andrew Bentley, 49, self-employed gardener of Full Flood, Winchester, said, they're OK if they're not offensive. It all depends on what the tattoo is. I've got a little one that I keep covered. A lot of tattoos can be brilliant artwork.
There we go. And now Q&A. Paul, we'll... we've got a... about Maya Winchester column. What do you say, John?
That's right. Jonathan Brooks, age 39, duty manager of Winchester venues at Hampshire Cultural Trust, tells us what he thinks of the city. What is your favourite restaurant or cafe? I work in the square, so I'm absolutely spoilt for choice, but the pizzas at Three Joe's are absolutely delicious. What is your favourite pub or bar? I really enjoy going to see live music. The Railway Inn always has a great selection of bands and artists playing. What is your favourite shop? I love the quirky selection of gifts and homeware in Eclectic Hound. What is your favourite building? I'm probably a bit biased, but I'd probably say City Museum. It has quite a dignified air about it. What is your favourite view? Looking down over the city from the top of the West Gate when I'm opening the building up in the morning is pretty special. It feels like watching the city waking up. Who or what is Winchester's biggest icon? I'd probably say King Alfred or Jane Austen. They are the people we get asked the most questions about at the museum. What is Winchester's best kept secret? Definitely the West Gate Museum. So many people come in and say they've lived in Winchester all their life and didn't know it was a museum. What is the best thing about Winchester? There is so much to see and do in a very small area. And the worst? Everyone probably says this, but it can feel very expensive. Describe Winchester in a sentence. To paraphrase Samuel Johnson, when a man is tired of Winchester... he is tired of life.
Well, if you have an opinion or a subject you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or email news@HampshireChronicle, all one word, .co.uk. Or you could also write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Or you could even drop in and see them when you're in Winchester next. And now, editorial comment. The editor heads up his article this week with How to Treat the Public Over Changes. It is all about involving the public. Introducing any change is beset with difficulty, and it is vital the public is on board. The Chronicle reports this week on three schemes which show its importance. The 6th Winchester Scout Group wants to build a £720,000 base in Abbots Barton. Door-to-door consultation and resident surveys. Result? The likelihood of public support. The City Council has its £150 million plan for station approach. Public meeting on Monday after outline planning permission given. Result? Ill feeling and confusion. Health managers want to move some NHS services to Basingstoke to make most efficient use of limited funds and improve care. they admit the consultation so far could have been better. Result? Many people unpersuaded about the reasons for the changes. Unfortunately, the culture of public officials in the UK is still to involve the public as little as possible. There is still the general idea that the public need to be treated like children. Result? Distrust and cynicism. Now, first person. Khalid Aziz writes about reasons to be cheerful. But I think we all need some of those. Claire will tell us more.
Here goes. As we contemplate yet more weeks of uncertainty on the political front, let's take a rest and reflect on how things really are. For me, the main thing is that we have enjoyed one of the most golden summers I can remember. Warm, fine, and benevolent. It's been a cracking time for two of my favourite hobbies, fly fishing and beekeeping. Wading in the Test on a warm, balmy evening, trying to outwit wild trout has to be one of the most fulfilling pastimes known to man. Once you get past Duffer's fortnight, when mayfly-crazed trout throw themselves onto your fly, if you're lucky, it can be the most frustrating if they stick to the natural manifestation of the mayfly eschewing your inferior artificial fly. Wild trout are cautious and often subtle creatures. They tend to feed just below the surface, with only a dimpling of the water to indicate where a trout might be taking. The technique, in theory at least, is to land your fly just 3 feet upstream of where you think the trout is. I tend to use a so-called emerger fly, small and fashioned from the curled over tail feather of a duck, known in French as coule de canard. You let the fly drift down on the current and hopefully the fish will go for it. The initial skill of casting is followed by the second, the strike. It's all in the strike. Timing is essential. Lift the rod to tighten the line against the trout. Too soon and you risk tugging the fly away before the fish has sucked it into its mouth. Too slow and the fish may have spat it out. Get it right and you have him. Size for size, wild chalkstream trout can fight like the devil. We purists use the lightest of tackle, so skill is of the essence. Get it right and you draw the fish to you, only to gently release it to go about its business and you to have a crack at its brother. And so to bees. I have kept bees for 4 decades. I find them fascinating. What's amazing is how well they cooperate with each other. Politicians, please note. Anyway, everyone has a role in the hive. The queen, after a single high-flying mating on the wing, is consigned to the hive to spend her time laying, sometimes up to 2,000 eggs a day. There are a few hundred male drones kept solely for reproduction, but the undoubted stars of the hive are the tens of thousands of infertile female workers. Their roles vary with age, starting off as nurses tending the larvae. They then move on to other roles, including foraging for nectar and pollen. It amazes non-beekeepers at just how productive bees can be. In its short lifetime, as little as 6 weeks, one bee can collect just a quarter of a teaspoon of nectar. Yet one hive can easily produce over 30 pounds of honey. This year was bumper, with one of my hives producing over 40 pounds. It's quite a faff harvesting honey, involving clearing the bees away from the frames, uncapping the combs, using a centrifuge to extract the honey, then filtering and finally filling jars of honey. This year I tried a flow hive, an Australian invention about which conventional beekeepers can be sniffy. It was a dream to use. Populated with a swarm caught from a friend's garden, the bees thrived and soon were as busy as, well, bees. Time to harvest. None of the rigmarole. Just go around the back of the hive, turn a tap, and out comes the honey, straight into the jars. Meanwhile, the bees continued unperturbed, coming and going at the front of the hive, while I was extracting the golden liquid at the back. Truly, life's a buzz.
Lovely. Now, letter from Westminster. Unsurprisingly, the Winchester MP Steve Bryan has a few words for us this week. Richard.
He does indeed. Last week, while holding street surgeries, I was asked time and again what I planned to do following the suspension of the whip, meaning I currently sit as an independent MP for voting to block a no-deal Brexit. There are different views. That's why I'm taking soundings. But there seems wide support for my vote and general agreement I serve Winchester and Chandlersford well as a hard-working local MP. I'm an experienced MP these days. I did turn up a few months back motivated by a single issue. I have time in government under my belt and a deep understanding of how to get things done for my constituents. Whether I continue is, in many respects, your decision. Constituents know what I stand for. They know I stood up to be counted when it mattered, and they know not every MP does the same. One gentleman last week urging me to run said he'd back me and offered to help. Winchester won't let you down, he said. Maybe he's right. The stakes are certainly high. Whatever I do next, I hope my colleagues and I have challenged the modern-day cynicism about politicians that we're all in it for ourselves. Parliament needs more, not less, independent-minded MPs. Of course, I know the strength of working as part of a group, and there's every chance I'll stand as such to come the next general election. But regardless, in our system, we vote for the person, not the party. Really? And since I last wrote, much may have happened, but this person hasn't lost sight in all the madness of issues that also matter to his constituents. Issues like school funding, which has, almost unnoticed, undergone a revolution since I held a special Schools in Winchester debate in Parliament just before the summer. Central to my pitch was a plea that ministers produce a long-term funded plan for schools, as has recently happened in the NHS. So, in case you missed it, funding in primary and secondary schools is increasing by £14 billion. Per pupil funding will rise, and there's more for children with special educational needs and disabilities next year. This was a key focus for me, as I see firsthand how high needs provision is struggling in Hampshire. Another campaign I've pursued over many years is new investment in colleges, such as Peter Simmons. And finally, we're seeing the biggest reform to teacher pay in a generation, increasing salaries for new teachers to £30,000. All are issues I tackled in my debate. I don't want to see the constituency I've worked so hard for used as a pawn in some national political game. So, while the tectonic plates move around me, I'm in exactly the same place I've always been. A sensible, moderate, one-nation MP in the centre ground of British politics. These are values I know we share in this constituency. I feel passionately that the tone of political debate matters. How we show regard for one another and listen, even when we vehemently disagree. Brexit has polarised our society. A desire to reach out across that divide and not just know better because we don't agree is vital to the health and stability of Parliament and the UK.
Thank you. And now Balgarham. John.
A novel change of direction for economics expert. Ossulbury-based Professor Richard Dale is well used to writing about economics and financial law. Now, the Southampton University expert has seen his first novel published. The book, Murder in St. Paul's, uses fiction to try and explain the real-life story of Richard Hunn, a well-respected London merchant whose body was found in the old St. Paul's Cathedral way back in 1514. Was it suicide or a sinister murder by church officials? The crime has baffled historians for more than 500 years, and the novel follows Hunn's widow Anne as she struggles to solve the mystery. Her quest leads us into rebellion against the church, illicit printing, and we even meet Winchester geese, prostitutes so called because they'd plied their trade on what is now London's South Bank, and at the time was under the rule of the Bishop of Winchester. Professor Dale's debut novel is a gripping tale with a rather surprising ending. Murder in St. Paul's is available from Waterstones and W.H. Smith online.
Thank you. And now on to the historical items. From the Chronicle of 200 years ago, 100, 50 and 25 years ago. I shall start with Monday, September the 20th, 1819. The preparation for the gas lights in the town of Southampton are going on. The ground is looked out for the grand reservoir and everything to facilitate the completion of this desirable object is in great forwardness. Well, and secondly, we give an account of the disturbance consequent on the meeting at Paisley, one of the largest manufacturing towns in Scotland.
100 years ago, Saturday, September the 20th, 1919. The Mayor, Alderman Alfred Edmeads, on Tuesday evening presided over a meeting of the citizens to discuss and, if approved, to ratify the decision of the City War Memorial Committee, who were in favour of joining in the county scheme for a war memorial gateway at the northern approach to the Cathedral Close and beautifying the ground on the north side of the cathedral, and the erection of a cross as the tribute of the county to those who have laid down their lives in the war. A very pleasant and much enjoyed social evening was organised by the staff of the Rifle Record Office at the Guildhall, Winchester, on Friday in the last week. The special feature of the gathering was a presentation to ex-SQMS VEC Riflebridge, who has been demobilised and has gone back to civilian life.
Two items from 50 years ago, Saturday, September the 20th, 1969. Parishioners of the recently dissolved parish of St Thomas and St Michael said goodbye on Monday evening to the man who's guided their spiritual welfare for the past 11 years. It was an emotional occasion, both for the Reverend J.H. Llewellyn and his wife, who are going to Barton Stacey, and for members of his congregation, facing the double blow of losing a well-loved rector and church, where people have worshipped for the past 123 years. Mr. Llewellyn, a great music lover as well as something of a musician, was then presented with a transistor radio and a cheque from his former parishioners. And a new club to be known as the Winchester 60 Club opened on Thursday week at the Winchester Sword and Shield Centre. It's a social club for gentlemen over 60, and as a result of planning preparation by a number of people, but in particular Sword and Shield Centre and its 1,830 group, the Lions Club of Winchester and King Alfred's Boys Club. The first members, all invited by personal invitation, and about 20 in number, obviously thoroughly enjoyed themselves, quickly making friends with each other and their hosts. Available also were darts, bar football, draughts, dominoes and the evening papers. Refreshments were served as and when wanted.
From the files. 25 years ago, Friday, September the 16th, 1994. Plans are afoot to give Winchester its first family resource centre at the former Red Hatch Children's Home in Andover Road. It will enable children and their families to have direct access to post-abuse services, counselling, therapeutic work, training and support for foster parents, home economy and many other services under one roof. Also included in the plans is the building of a new children's accommodation block to replace the present Milesdown residential home in Northbrook Avenue. Approval in principle was given to the plans at Wednesday's meeting of the County Council's Children's Services Subcommittee. Director of Social Services Terry Butler reported that Winchester was one of only two areas in the county which did not have direct services facilities for children and their families. Elsewhere in the county, these services are offered from the family resource centres and family centres, he said. They prevent children from being accommodated by the local authority and emphasise the importance of family life and promote the well-being of children. Mr. Butler said Milesdown Residential Home had offered adequate accommodation as a long-stay unit for 10 young people on the outskirts of the city. Different subject. Chaos hit a five-mile stretch of road near Winchester this week after thousands of gallons of thick crude oil spilled from a tanker. The trouble began at 7:25 a.m. on Monday when a tanker left the Simtex oil terminal on the B3420 north of Winchester after filling up. But police say it drove off with the hose still attached. And when this broke, the tanker left a thick trail of oil, in fact over an inch thick, behind it, causing havoc on the B3420 to one of the southbound carriageways of the A34. The roads weren't opened until late on Wednesday night. Sergeant Ian Lawrence of North Wales Police said it was not brought to the driver's attention until he was on the A34, south of Three Maids Hill. There were a lot of minor accidents and one police vehicle was damaged along the route. It took workers from Hampshire County Council and the transport company BKP until about 11:10 p.m. on Wednesday to clear the slick. The roads were covered with sand.
Thank you all. Now, let's take a look at what's on in the region over the next couple of weeks. First, a notice about the Colebrook Club. You may like to know about the Colebrook Club, which is for people experiencing sight loss. The club holds monthly meetings in Winchester with interesting speakers and a chance to meet other people with similar sight problems. The club aims to entertain and inform, to guide members to other sources of assistance and generally help them with the problems that sight loss brings. If you would like to know more, contact either Sheila on 01962 866 506, that's 01962 866 506, or Muriel on 01794 388483. That's Muriel on 01794 388483. And what's on in the area over the next week or so? The big band is back. Copythorne Royal British Legion welcomes the Purbeck Big Band on Saturday the 5th of October. That's at Copythorne Parish Hall. We also have a meeting, an illustrated talk by the Eastleigh and Chandlers Ford Group of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust, entitled Marine Wildlife Wonders of the Solent, and that's at Chandlers Ford Community Centre at 7:30 on, as I say, Tuesday the 24th of September. No need to book, it's just £3 on the door, including light refreshments. And the RSPB have a talk on the 2nd of October, British Birding Highlights, from Scottish Eagles to Hampshire Firecrests. And that's at Shawford Parish Hall in Compton. And that one is at 7:45 and is £4 for non-group members. And there's a phone call for booking on that one, which is 01962 851 821. That's 851 821. And if back on the subject of bees, we have there's a talk in Badger Farm Community Centre on Wednesday, the October the 9th, and it's entitled Solitary Bees and Wasps. And it's an illustrated talk by Brian Pynchon. That's also been organised by the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust. £4 on the door to include tea and coffee, and non-members are welcome at that one. A couple of concerts. There's an organ recital, a lunchtime organ recital in the cathedral at 1 p.m. on Tuesday, September the 24th. Free to attend, but a retiring collection will be taken. And on Saturday, September the 28th at 7 p.m, the Winchester Fusion Choir are performing at Wesley Methodist Church in Stony Lane, Winchester. And that's in aid of various charities, Brickworks, Water Harvest and West London Mission. And tickets are £10. And that includes desserts at lunchtime. At the lunchtime? At the interval, I should say. And tickets are available from Richard on 01962 880 842. And I'm sure that Ros would not want me to miss out on saying that there's a Chesil show on this week. It's In Praise of Love at the Chesil Theatre, Winchester. It's the opening show of the season. In Praise of Love is a tender and deeply moving play by a master of 20th century theatre, Terence Rattigan. The playwright was particularly inspired by the actor Rex Harrison's decision not to inform his beautiful wife, the actress Kay Kendall, of her terminal diagnosis. And the play opens on Saturday, the 28th of September, and runs until October the 5th at 7:45, with a matinee on Sunday the 29th at 2:30. Now, here are the lighting up times starting on Saturday the 20th of September. The sun will set at 7:08 p.m. and on Wednesday the 24th of September, the sun will rise at 6:53 a.m. and will set at 6:59 p.m. And now on to items of general news. Claire, can we have your first item, please?
Well, this is a report by Alice Ashcroft of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Trust, Wildlife Trust. And it's Sheep Thrills at Housing Development Meadows. Lucky lambs, 35 of them, have joined the reserves team at Barton Meadows, where they will help to create a flourishing haven for wildlife. The lambs at Barton Meadows were born between March and April earlier in the year at Hockley Meadows Farm, and we're delighted to see them settling into their new home. This nature reserve was created back in 2017 during the planning stage at the King's Barton housing development. Securing this land represented a significant achievement for the Trust, as it allowed us to create new habitats for wildlife displaced by the development. Since the site came into our care, we have been working to restore the arable fields to rich wildflower meadows, and the addition of sheep is a significant milestone. The lambs were put on the meadows following the hay cut in July as part of a conservation technique called aftermath grazing. Allowing livestock to graze the land prevents excess nutrients building up in the soil, which stops aggressive plants out-competing more delicate species. The sheep will also help to create diversity in grass sward height. When livestock graze freely, they select different plants and even different parts of the plant to nibble or browse. Over time, this selective eating forms a varied structure within the habitat, which helps to create the right conditions for a wide range of insects, birds, reptiles, mammals, and plants. At Barton Meadows, we hope to see plants such as oxeye daisy, meadow buttercup, and common knapweed benefit from our new grazing regime. And then we have Nature Notes. Following the release of 6 sea eagle chicks on the Isle of Wight, it has been fascinating to follow reports on how the birds are faring. They have explored their new surroundings in very different ways, with some getting to know the island and others taking a whistle-stop tour of the mainland. Culver, the most adventurous of the bunch, flew all the way to Essex before making his way back to the island last week. Culver has captured people's imaginations all along the south coast, and we hope that the sight of these magnificent birds soaring over the Isle of Wight will inspire more people to strive for a wilder future.
New dust carts aim to tackle the backlog. God. The complaints about rubbish continue, but the City Council hopes a fleet of greener refuse vehicles will start to make improvements. The new lorries form part of the Council's commitment to reducing carbon emissions and will also reduce delays, which have been due largely to breakdowns. The vehicles have state-of-the-art technology to help the crews and the highest green credentials currently available. Each lorry meets the requirements of the Euro 6 legislation, which means they produce lower emissions than the older fleet vehicles. Leader of Winchester City Council, Councillor Louise Thompson, said, "We recognise that waste collection has been below par for some time, and this is a matter that is very important to our residents. My administration is committed to improving waste collection services, and the lorries are the first stage in a series of improvements." The Hampshire Chronicle continues to receive complaints about poor service. Wendy Haywood said, "I live in a block of retirement apartments. We've had no collection of black bag rubbish for more than 3 weeks. Our bins are full, and we have about a dozen overflow bags, representing a health and safety risk. Our manager's been in touch with the so-called service many times, but with no success. The council needs to focus on this issue and get it sorted." Dr. Simon Roffey of Swan Lane emailed, "Although the recycling bins were taken away today, Swan Lane's overflowing waste bins were not. They've now been here for over 2 weeks, including the sweltering weekend. Rubbish is quite literally flowing over and blowing over the street. Rat infestation is high. This problem, as you're aware, has been going on for a few months. To date, over the summer, 5 bin collection days have been missed. So far, I've asked Winchester's MP, numerous councillors, many phone calls. I've spoken to the bin men in the street. I've also issued a formal complaint. I've received assurances from Mr. Botham that Swan Lane will be monitored. Ha ha. I will be speaking to Chronicle, who might be interested in this story of serial neglect and mismanagement. I have various photos, etc., which might be helpful. Meanwhile, I believe my £175 council tax is winging its way towards you on time, as usual."
Go.
Pony visits patients at Royal Hampshire County Hospital. Patients at Royal Hampshire County Hospital received an unusual visitor when a miniature Shetland pony popped in. Staff working on the elderly care wards arranged for super noodles to pay a visit to their patients, who got the chance to stroke and brush him, as well as put a colourful ribbon on his mane. Eva Nicholson, one of the patients, said, "I loved seeing the pony. I was brought up on a farm, had a pet pony, and learned to ride horses from the age of 4, so it brought back lots of memories. I really enjoy the activities the staff put on for us. It breaks the day up a bit, because it can get a bit boring being in hospital, so it's nice to get out of the ward." Super Noodle's visit was organised by Mark Badham, clinical matron on Freshfield Ward, and marked the opening of the Willow Suite, an area where patients can take part in a wide range of activities. Mark said, "The visit was a total success, and I actually found it quite emotional because of the way the patients responded to and interacted with Super Noodles. Being able to take part in activities, whether that be a visit from a pet as a therapy dog, a music session, or simply reminiscence therapy, where we talk about events that happened in the past, has a massive benefit for our patients."
Shortlisted. Naomi House and Jack's Place has been shortlisted in the Children and Young People Now Awards 2019. The Trust has been selected for the charity category, an award for the charity or social enterprise that has made the most impressive contribution in improving the life chances of children, young people or families. It recognises those excelling in innovative practice, effective partnership working and campaigning for change. Keith Wilson, head of marketing for Naomi House and Jack's Place, said, "Palliative care is changing rapidly and we have been at the forefront of developing innovative practice and ensuring even those with the most medically complex conditions can access high-quality hospice care. We are delighted that our charity and our work in this area has been recognised in the prestigious Children and Young People Now Awards. Modern medical interventions mean more children with very serious conditions and illnesses are living longer, but they are more complex, technology-dependent and need more specialist care. The hospices have met this changing demand by investing in the clinical skills of its nursing and care teams and currently employs the largest dedicated practice education team of any hospice in the UK. It was this approach and commitment to reaching every child that particularly impressed the judges."
Grooming cases soar by almost 20%. Grooming crimes recorded by Hampshire Police have soared by 19%, according to data obtained by a national children's charity. A total of 181 offences involving sexual communication with a child were logged in the year to April 2019, compared with 152 in the previous 12 months. The information also revealed that many of the victims were aged 11 or younger. A huge number of the offences were committed using social media. The government has indicated it will publish a bill, an online harms bill, containing proposals for the independent regulation of social networks with tough sanctions if they fail to keep children safe on their platforms. The NSPCC wants ministers to implement robust regulation. The chief of the NSPCC said it's now clearer than ever that government has no time to lose in getting tough on these tech firms, despite the huge amount of pressure social networks have come under to put basic protections in place. Children are being groomed and abused on their platforms every single day. These figures are yet more evidence that social networks simply won't act unless they're forced to by law. The government needs to stand firm and bring in regulations without delay.
Searching for County's most talented poet. Search for the new Hampshire poet. The hunt is on for the Hampshire Poet 2020. The search for a figurehead for the poetry in the country, which takes place every 2 years, has got underway and is being led by Hampshire Cultural Trust and Winchester Poetry Festival. The Hampshire Poet Programme, which aims to foster local talent, has been running every 2 years since 2008 and provides the opportunity for a poet, either resident and or working in the county, to undertake commissions, lead workshops and give readings and talks throughout Hampshire. As well as being a talented poet, he or she will act as a strong advocate for poetry and poets. The Hampshire poet will play a significant role in highlighting key cultural events, as well as working with the 2020 Winchester Poetry Festival. They will have a chance to create new work, engage members of the community, and connect to planned activities taking place across the county throughout the year. New Forest-based Robin Bolam, who was selected as Hampshire Poet 2018, said, Being chosen as Hampshire Poet 2018 was inspirational as well as a huge privilege. I've been passionate about reading and writing poetry since primary school, so having the opportunity to pass on my enthusiasm to people of all ages has been an honour. Stephen Boyce, chairman of Winchester Poetry Festival, added, "During their tenure, Hampshire Poet becomes the heart of poetry in the county, undertaking a range of activities, highlighting the value of poetry, and also bringing something new and individual to the poetry life of Hampshire. 2020 is an exciting year culturally, and the poet will get involved in marking the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower sailing and the 300th anniversary of Gilbert White."
Burglars target village garages. The police are appealing for information after break-ins at garages in Otterbourne. Six burglaries or attempted burglaries took place in Cranbourne Drive between midnight and 1 a.m. on Wednesday, September the 11th. In two cases, bikes were taken from two garages, but they were recovered later. Other garages had been entered, but there were no signs that the door had been forced. Officers are treating all these incidents as being linked and are making inquiries. The police would like to hear from anyone who has information about what happened who hasn't yet spoken to us. Call 101, quoting the crime reference number 4419 032 4467. The reference number again, 4419 032 4467. The police advise, lock tools away securely, either inside a locker, a box, or secured with a chain. Secure your bike to the ground or a lockable stand within a locked garage or shed. And use an old sheet to cover mirrors or bikes to keep them covered from view.
Make North Walls two-way, says Highways Engineer. A Winchester Transport expert and city architect are calling for more work on the Winchester Movement Strategy. Mike Slynn, a past president of the Chartered Institute of Highways and Transport, said much of the document was based on insufficient evidence. Mr. Slynn, who's lived in the city for 38 years, told the Town Forum last Wednesday, "Much of the modelling is not fit for purpose. There's been no hearts and minds vision for the city centre." As an example, Mr. Slynn said no analysis had been done of the types of car journeys through the city, or whether they were making local journeys or passing through to other places. Making North Walls two-way again for the first time in 50 years would reduce traffic on Friars Gate, St George's Street and Jury Street. Lorries and coaches could be barred from a two-way North Walls through ANPR, Automatic Number Plate Recognition. He said, "There's no reason why coaches and HGVs should drive through the city centre. We could ban them by using ANPR, which is used by lots of authorities and in car parks. The pavement on the north side of North Walls could be removed and the south side widened to 1.8 metres, making it a more pleasant thoroughfare for pedestrians than at present. Currently, pedestrians walking on the north side are within inches of the wing mirrors of heavy lorries and buses." Mr. Thin said about 15 years ago, the Winchester Traffic and Access Plan has suggested a two-way North Walls, but the idea got lost, he said. Over the years, the level of expertise in the County Council Transport Department has deteriorated, and an outside consultancy should be commissioned to undertake the work.
St. Maurice's costs spark concerns. Concerns have been raised about the escalating costs of the revamp of St. Maurice's Covert in Winchester city centre. The City Council recently agreed to spend an additional £90,000 on the covered area between the High Street and Market Lane. The current estimated cost of the work, which is due to start after Christmas, is now £225,000. Councillor Fiona Mather said, I am concerned how the costs of Phase 1 have increased to way beyond the original costs of Phases 1, 2, 3 and 4. I understand Vladimir Putin is hogging supplies of York stone for repaving Moscow. I'm concerned the area we want to repave is not out of scale for what someone might do want to do in their garden. I'm concerned about the way the costs are escalating, and I need reassuring that we are taking every measure to make sure we have got a competitive quote, especially for the repaving. People are saying, why spend so much money when all it needs is a lick of paint? Simon Finch, City Council Corporate Head of Service, said the project had been a long time in the pipeline and costs had risen over time. It was not as straightforward a scheme as it seemed. Councillor Kim Gottlieb said, local people I have spoken to want to see this happen. I think it has been sensibly costed.
Cottage blaze. The blaze which destroyed a historic thatched cottage near Winchester started accidentally. The fire service said the cause of the fire in Bowworth has been listed as accidental. Investigators said it was caused by heat transfer from the chimney, most likely due to defective liner, said a service spokeswoman. Some 50 firefighters tackled the fire in the hamlet near Cheriton.
Ramsey's Maine, that's M-A-N-E, annual event attracts thousands. Thousands of visitors flock to the biggest community event in Romsey. From horse competitions and a popular dog show to penguin pies being sold in a food market, the event brought a range of activities and stalls. Bringing smiles to faces of local families and festival goers, Broadlands Park was packed with not just residents but many furry friends. Live music, funfair rides, traditional cars and even a rock climbing wall brought the show to life.
Store closes. A Winchester clothing store is set to close its doors for the final time. Jack Wills in the High Street now has a closing down sign in its window, with products being sold at a reduced price. The company, which Sports Direct acquired out of administration in August for £12.8 million, has roughly 100 stores across the country. A customer outside the Winchester branch told the Chronicle, I don't see why it's closing. It always seems busy when I come down. I thought Winchester would be the perfect customer base for a Jack Wills store, but apparently I was wrong. A number of stores in the High Street have permanently shut this year, including Kath Kidson and Pandora. A spokesperson for the Winchester Jack Wills declined to comment. The Chronicle has contacted Jack Wills and Sports Direct head offices, but is yet to receive a reply.
Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. But before we go, another reminder that Mary Davis is the person to call if you have any problems with your recording. Her number, again, is 01962 711 998. That's 01962 711 998. Thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, to our editors Gordon and Liz, and of course many thanks to our readers. Claire?
Goodbye.
Richard?
Bye.
And John?
Goodbye.
And from me, Barbara, until the next time, goodbye. And would you please put the memory stick in the wallet when you have finished with it and return it to us as soon as possible. Thank you. Mm-hmm.